Bart Fireside Studio.
It's Kevin Cohen.
All right, welcome back in on The Point. Glad to have you on board. Really appreciate that. Want to get over to our Groucho's Deli hotline where we have the pleasure and the privilege of saying hello to an old friend. Want to welcome back to The Point. Want to welcome back to Columbia, of course, and to the Palmetto State, our former governor and former ambassador to the United Nations. We want to say hello to Nikki Haley, who's with us. And Nikki, thank you for the time. It's a pleasure to have you back here with us. I probably should have not come back with the Rolling Stones. I probably should have come back with some Joan Jett. But anyway, good to have you on board.
Good morning, Kevin. It's a great day in South Carolina, for sure.
Hey, I obviously don't have a lot of time with you, so as much as I would love to just kind of revisit and talk about a lot of things, let's dive right into saving the world here in our brief visit. So to me, I want to start by talking about Iran. I know that Americans are obviously very tired, Nikki, of wars and the reality of the times that we're living in. But, I mean, they're the top sponsor of terrorism, Hamas, Hezbollah, what's going on with the Red Sea and the flow of trade and the Houthis. And now we've had three Americans killed in Jordan. What would you be doing if you're in the White House right now to deal with Iran?
Well, I think let's first look at how we got here, right? I mean, I think that you have to look at the fact that how did this happen? None of this would have happened. Everything that's happening around the world. None of this would have happened had we not had that debacle in Afghanistan. I mean, the idea that, and you know, Michael deployed to Afghanistan while I was governor, the idea that we left Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night without telling our allies who stood shoulder to shoulder with us for decades because we asked them to be there. Think about what that told our friends, and more importantly, think about what that told our enemies. And now the fact that Michael is deployed again, America is supposed to always have the backs of our men and women. They didn't do anything about it after the first strike. Biden and company didn't do anything after the second strike. 165 strikes later, you had to wait for three soldiers to die and two Navy SEALs to die to say, oh, maybe we should do something? And the reason this happened is Biden fell all over himself to get back into that Iran deal. And when he did, they lifted the sanctions, allowed China to import billions of dollars worth of oil, and it filled those proxies with money. There would be no Hamas without Iran. There'd be no Hezbollah without Iran. There'd be no Houthis without Iran. And when you fill them with money, all they do is terrorist activity. And so, you know, the main thing I will tell you is what they should do right now is, first of all, put the sanctions on right away. You've got to go and stop the money flow that's happening. The second thing is take out those areas where you're seeing the drones and missiles come from in Iraq and Syria. Take those out so that our soldiers are protected in the immediate future. And then the third thing is make sure you go and take out one of the Iranian military leaders that are making these decisions, one or two of the IRGC members. Iran doesn't care if you get if you hurt their fighters. They'll just get more fighters. They don't care if you destroy equipment. They'll get more equipment. What they care about is their money and their leaders, and that's what we need to do. It's not about hitting Iran hard. It's about hitting Iran smart. That's the way we would deal with Iran.
When it comes to everything going on right now, it's such a volatile time. You've got the situation with Ukraine and Putin and things like that. People are trying to label you as a warmonger, as neocon this and all that. And I think you've been very consistent. I mean, I've known you obviously as long as anyone. Your support for Israel, for example, cannot be challenged in any capacity. When it comes to your positions, you've stayed consistent about things. So how are you dealing with the labels when it comes to things like that?
Well, first of all, you can't be a military spouse and be a warmonger, because anybody who is, you know, a military family member, you know the last thing you want is for your loved one to go to war. But the reason this is happening, you know, where you have so many Americans that say, why should we care about Ukraine? Why should we care about Israel? Those are legitimate questions for them to be asking, Kevin. And the reason they're asking is because no one is telling them the truth. This is where Biden and Congress should be telling Americans why this is even being talked about. Why should we care? So I'll tell you. First of all, you look at Ukraine. This is a pro-American, freedom-loving country. They were very good to us when I was at the United Nations. They voted with us on almost everything. They were a great friend. Here you have this pro-American, freedom-loving country that was invaded by a thug. 500,000 people have died and been wounded because of Putin. Now, I saw every day at the United Nations, terrorists, thugs, and dictators always tell us what they're going to do. They're amazingly transparent. Hamas said they were going to invade Israel. They did. China said they were going to take Hong Kong. Happened during COVID. Russia said they were going to invade Ukraine. We watched it. China says Taiwan is next. We better believe them. Russia said once they take Ukraine, Poland and the Baltics are next. Those are NATO countries. That immediately puts America at war. This is about preventing war. It's always been about preventing war. And Putin has hit rock bottom. We know that because he's lost 87% of his fighting forces that started the war. They've raised the draft age in Russia to 65. They're getting drones from Iran and missiles from North Korea. He knows he's in trouble. If we just supported Ukraine, and I'll tell you, first of all, I don't think we should give cash to any country, friend or enemy, because you can't follow it and you can't hold it accountable. But I do think we need to give Ukraine the equipment and the ammunition they need to win. If we just did that, that's only 3.5% of our defense budget. The Europeans are paying more than that, and they should. It's their neighborhood. Now you go to Israel. Anybody that asks why we should care about Israel, honestly, Kevin, God help us if we don't get this right. Israel is a bright spot in a tough neighborhood. They are the tip of the spear when it comes to defeating terrorism. It has never been that Israel needs America. It has always been that America needs Israel. And when you look at what happened on October 7th, when they came in and beheaded those people and burned those babies alive and took those girls from that concert and raped them and dragged their naked bodies through the streets of Gaza, what did they say? Death to Israel, death to America. That's why you have to care. And to tie all this up, on that horrific day of October 7th, that's Putin's birthday. Who's the happiest person in the world right now?
Right.
Putin. Why? Because America took their eyes and their efforts, and so did the West, off of Ukraine and turned it to Israel. Russia didn't call Israel right away after that happened. Putin waited 10 days to do that. You know who he did call? He called Hamas. Hamas showed up in Russia the next day, held hands, and they said they were friends. If we support Ukraine and Israel, that's only 5% of our defense budget. And Congress right now and Biden want to make you think you have to pick between that and the border. Securing the border should be priority number one. America's acting like it's September 10th, and we better remember what September 12th felt like. If we supported Ukraine and Israel and secured the border, that's less than 20% of Biden's green subsidies. So they should never make Americans feel like they have to choose. A president and Congress should always choose preventing war. A president and Congress should always choose protecting Americans. And a president and Congress should always choose national security.
So I do all the grocery shopping in my family, and I don't care what numbers come out and this and that. I can tell you the numbers that matter. I'm from a middle-class family of four. I've got one in college, one about to start college. I know the struggle of this, and prices are not down at the grocery store. Gas is not cheap. This is a struggle. So we put ourselves in this situation. We spent ourselves into oblivion pre, during, and after the pandemic. So how do we get back out of this?
Well, and those prices aren't going to come down anytime soon. That's a reality. It doesn't matter what Biden says. But think about this. Everybody talks about the economy under Donald Trump. And it was good. But at what cost? He put us $8 trillion in debt, Kevin, in 4 years. Republicans and Democrats did this to us. When they put that $2.2 trillion COVID stimulus bill out there, passed it with no accountability. They expanded welfare that's now left us with 82 million Americans on Medicaid, 42 million Americans on food stamps. That's a third of our country. And did Republicans try and make it right? No. They doubled down and opened up pet projects and earmarks for the first time in 10 years, pushing through 7,000 of them, spending on things like $30 million on an honors college in Vermont, $10 million to tear down a hotel in Alaska, $7.5 million on a courthouse in Colorado, and the list goes on. In the 2024 appropriations budget, Republicans spent or put in $7.8 trillion worth of pet projects and earmarks. Democrats put in $2.4 trillion. Now you tell me who the big spenders are.
Mm-hmm.
All while 1 in 6 American families can't afford their utility bill. 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. What I will do is, first of all, we'll start by clawing back the $100 billion of unspent COVID dollars that are still out there. Instead of 87,000 IRS agents going after middle America, let's go after the hundreds of billions of dollars of COVID fraud. $1 out of every $7 was spent fraudulently. If 8% of our budget is interest, quit borrowing. Cut up the credit cards. You have to balance a budget every day. I had to balance a budget as governor. Why is Congress the only group that refuses to balance a budget? We'll stop the spending. We'll stop the borrowing. We'll eliminate those pet projects. And I'll veto any spending bill that doesn't take us back to pre-COVID levels. Then we'll go and get all the federal programs we can, send them down to the states. That will reduce the size of the federal government, and it will empower people on the ground. Think education. Think welfare. Think healthcare. Think mental health. That's the way we start going through and getting that taken. That Congress has one job, and that's to give us a budget on time in 4 years. They have only given us a budget on time 4 times in 40 years. You know what I'll say to that? You don't give us a budget on time, you don't get paid, period. We've got to start holding Congress accountable.
Last thing, I'll let you get out of here. Give me a little last-minute pep talk, if you would, for people that might not hear you again with me between now and primary day. Give people your shout-out. Why Nikki Haley? Why you over the other guy?
Well, first of all, you will hear from me before now, between now and election day. I'll tell you this. If you look at the state of where we are now, first of all, I mean, go back to when I was governor. We did amazing things together. We truly did. We started with 11%. We brought it down to 4%. We passed voter ID. We passed the toughest illegal immigration law in the country. President Obama sued us over it, and we won. We passed tort reform. We passed pension reform. We cut taxes. We announced jobs in every county in the state. We brought that unemployment down to 4%. We moved 35,000 people from welfare to work. We created the lowest recidivism rate in the country. We did amazing things together. We can do that again in the country. But right now, you look at everything. I voted for Donald Trump twice. I was proud to serve America in his administration. But chaos follows him, Kevin. It's just a fact. Chaos follows him, and we can't be a country in disarray and a world on fire and go through 4 more years of chaos. We won't survive it. The other thing is, we can't lose. There will be a female president. It's either going to be me or it's going to be Kamala Harris. And if Donald Trump gets nominated, it will be Kamala Harris. Look at any general election poll. Head to head, Donald Trump loses. Another poll came out yesterday. A Quinnipiac poll came out yesterday. I defeat Biden. Donald Trump loses by 7 points. In every one of those polls, I beat Biden by up to 17 points.
Right.
We do that. That's more than just presidency. That's House. That's Senate. That's governorships. That's school boards. You win by double digits. That's a mandate going to D.C. that will say to Congress, we'll stop the wasteful spending, we'll get our budget back on track. That's a mandate to get our kids reading again and go back to the basics on education. That's a mandate to secure our border with no more excuses. That's a mandate to bring law and order back to our country. That's a mandate for a strong America that we can all be proud of. That's what we need to do. We can't go back to 2 80-year-olds running for president. 70% of Americans have said they don't want a Biden-Trump rematch. A majority of Americans disagree with Trump and disagree with Biden. We can't go with two more guys that put us trillions of dollars in debt. It is time for a new generational leader that can work 8 years to get our country back on track, and that's what I'm determined to do. And I will spend every day proving to the people of South Carolina and America that they made the right decision.
It is. It's great visiting with you, kind of putting the band back together. It's been fun chatting with you. I want to tell
I
you.
I love it.
I hope you can make some time to come back with us and visit before the primary. But thank you for all you've done and what you've accomplished, obviously, from Bamberg and from the entire Midlands. Proud to see one of our own do so well. But keep fighting the good fight, and we'll talk to you again soon, Nikki.
And everybody show up at Doc's Barbecue today. We'll be there at 1 o'clock, and go to NikkiHaley.com to see where our rallies are going to be around the state.
Thank you, Nikki.